the boys are back.
The night starts now.
It starts now, baby, roll with us. Chicken snapping at the neck when we rolling up. Low floor doors, ain't no holding up. Black card at the bar like I gives a fuck.
Let me shoot the eye when we walk into the set. Fuck the fellas looking jealous, play the back and get wet. Pound in my waist and shank in my sock. You either get cut, get stuffed, or get shot.
This is the tale.
Hello, welcome to Click It or Ticket. I'm Pete Mutino.
And sitting alongside Peter Mutino is this individual, Nick Schaefer.
Yeah, we're at day two of the countdown to Crazy Glenn's Dealing Days. In the meantime, Glenn's still not here. So in the meantime, just get the loudest object you can in your house and throw it against a wall to replicate him being here.
Yeah, you know, Glenn's a special guy, but not unique. If you get enough noise and energy, you know, that's... You got
that's the thing. No, nothing original coming from Glenn. Just
no,
just noise.
Not even really.
It's kind of like you know, like those like weird white noise things you buy at like you know, but what's this one? Like Brookstone, where it like it makes either white noise or water running to help you fall asleep.
Well, we're
Glenn's like
be,
that for the podcast.
We're going to be firing him, is what we're trying to say.
Yes, no more Glenn.
We're going to wait for him to move in and then kick him off the show.
Just make it awkward, because you know, like when you talk to girls and they always have roommate drama.
Well, I want that.
Yeah.
I've been just because I'm a guy, I don't get to have roommate
I know.
Drama?
Equal rights. Equal rights here on Click It or Ticket.
Yeah, that's what we stand for here. We're about equality. So yesterday was it yesterday? Or was it 2 days ago?
I have no idea what day it is anymore. Ever.
No.
I was convinced today was Wednesday.
Me too.
I was convinced. There was no doubt in my mind.
I've been sure all day that because I've been thinking about all the shit I have to do Wednesday. All day, so I'm
You have interviews to prepare for? That's what's
yeah,
going down?
Thursday. I got to prep for... Apparently, you have to research the company, so you have something to talk about,
right.
or the firm, rather. So each one that you interview with, you're supposed to be able to talk about why you want their firm in particular, and blah, 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 instead of just, you know, I want money.
Right.
And if you... It's like, I'll take any...
I guess that goes for any job, really.
It used to be, though.
Because it's you trying your hardest not to say, like, I'm here for the paycheck, you know, at the interview. You're supposed to be, well, you know, it's like, well, I was really interested in, like, what this company does, et cetera, et cetera. At least that's, I would think so. I don't know. Maybe some people go in, they're like, I want money, and, like, that works out fine.
You're
for them,
right. But. You're absolutely right. But what makes it weird about the law firm thing is that I think a lot of these firms are pretty interchangeable. Like, they're pretty much fungible. So when they say, why this firm instead of another one, I'm not going to have, like, a sincere answer for them.
Well, it's true. Well, going back, when I used to, When I was interviewing with agents to represent me as an actor, I asked a lot of the wrong questions. And going back, because they would be like, do you have any questions for me? And then I'd be like, no, you know, I want to be represented. It was basically the whole thing. And I think going back, the question I should have asked was like, what's signing with you versus signing with this other person that I interviewed with? Like, what's different about you guys?
Yeah, I mean, and I appreciate
which
the...
Which I definitely didn't do.
That's a good idea, and I think I'm going to...
As such, I am a non-working actor.
Well, you know,
But I've got this podcast, so, you know.
Well, you were trying... I think you're still trying to get some stability first before you go back into...
Certainly, because...
Which...
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't really have that...
I mean, if you wanted
stability
to move...
thing.
Well, you're getting there.
I'm getting there.
In tangible ways, not just sort of conceptual ways.
It's like my internet support group.
I should clarify. I mean, the firms probably are different, and I haven't done the research yet, so there will be things I can find. But right now, if you ask me, and a lot of it, too, like 10, 15 years ago, or even 6 or 7 years ago, law students, it might actually be a relevant question, like, oh, well, which firm do you want? And like, right. The firms might actually have to sort of sell themselves to you, because you might have a few to pick from. Mm-hmm. Now, it's rare if you get a firm gig. At all.
Right.
I'd say at Fordham, I think the numbers are anywhere from like 15 to 20%.
Do you know like what the differential is? Like what lets you be in a firm? Like what type of lawyers to be get into firms versus those who don't?
Well, I mean, obviously the big corporate stuff is the bulk of what a lot of these places do. But, you know, I mean, it's so much of it's grades. So much of it's grades in your school. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge part of it. You know, if you're...
Or knowing someone, I'm sure. But I guess...
Yeah, that's the other side of it. If you don't, I mean, the difference between being... top 10% at Yale versus being top 10% at Fordham or being top 10% at Brooklyn Law or something like that is colossal. So
interesting.
I talked to
the next cast we do, you'll either be really upset or really excited or
I don't think I'd ever be really upset.
Right.
I'm coming into it knowing that the deck is stacked against me, and I'm just trying to learn from it. And you know,
there you go.
And I might as well roll the dice and see if I get something. No. If not, there's other ways of getting jobs. There's, I mean, that's how most people get jobs is through not this.
So, yeah, like sexual favors and.
Yeah. I'm going to be practicing on you later, if that's okay.
That's totally okay. With me. So, sucking dick to get jobs here. And
at Clicketer Ticket.
At Clicketer Ticket. And, you know, I really have nowhere to go with this. I was just...
I'm trying
to fill the void of silence.
The pulling dead air on somebody thing is easier to do when it's just one-on-one.
Oh, it's incredibly... Yeah. If you want me to monologue, I'll do it. It was the best times. It was the worst of times.
No. That's our thing. That's another thing we need to wait for Glenn to be here.
Yeah. And going back and listening to it, I can't imagine it was entertaining for anyone but us.
I don't know.
Much like
funny.
This podcast in general. It's an aspect of the cast and kind of is a descriptor of the cast as a whole.
Well, we got to give a shout out to Chilcock and Aaron, who both.
Yeah. Thank you for all of you who actually have, who actually saw that it was back up and actually took a listen. We shared some good times, some racial stuff.
Well, we made fun of the Klan and race hate, which makes us heroes.
It does. it really does. I know I've been saying it this entire time, but now we have proof on the internet, which is, you know, internet proof. E-proof is the best proof. Proof of insurance with the general.
E-proof is a good Beck song.
Yes, E-proof.
But
podcast. People are listening to this.
I actually wanted to ask you.
Yes.
All right. So yes. You know we've been talking about how we're going to be losing the balcony.
Yeah.
At a new place.
We have an awesome balcony at our place. It's like 23 stories in the air. You can see like the day we moved in, and also this past 4th of July. Well, Nick wasn't here for the past 4th of July, but the fireworks on the Hudson are right there. You get like a nice view of like Times Square. It's a straight shot uptown. It's beautiful. It's a huge reason why I haven't quit smoking, I feel like.
That was kind of what I was going to segue into. Because you were talking about quitting smoking when you moved into New York.
It's because it's like, you have to, like, speaking of sucking dick, you basically have to suck dick for cigarettes here.
Yeah, they're expensive and, you know, you're trying to, well, anyway.
They're bad for you, yeah.
So I was going to, but then once we got the balcony.
They give me these nice gravelly tones.
It's true. It gives you a lot of shape and depth to your voice. But, well, I mean, as soon as I saw the balcony, I was thinking, you know, there's no way you're going to quit smoking. I almost took up smoking just because it seems so nice out there. I mean,
you're not out there that much. You'll pop your head out for a couple seconds and then kind of go back to whatever you're doing.
I know. I've wasted it in a lot of ways, but
I read out there now. It's lovely.
I'll probably try to do some of that in the next.
But anyway,
so when we move to the place without the balcony, are you going to keep smoking?
Knowing me, I'm going to say definitely yes, but I'd to say no.
Well, Glenn's moving in, though, too.
And Glenn's a fellow tar lung.
So I'm thinking he's going to, you know, invite you out to smoke.
Maybe we'll have, like, some really lame thing where we motivate each other not to smoke and, like, jog together or something. But just saying that out loud, I'm just like, oh, it seems A, unlikely, and B, if I actually did it, I'd be like, what have I become?
What have I become?
Exactly. That's Johnny Cash, right?
Covering Nine Inch Nails, yeah. Okay, well, I'm interested to see how it plays out because there's the dynamic of the balcony going away and introducing the Glenn. So, and of course, the inertia is not to quit.
Right.
That's the default setting.
Default setting is just to smoke till I keel over and die one day.
I love hearing about whenever you mention smoking, it's like, you know, and health and all that. And it's like, well, I don't know. My grandfather smoked from when he was 13 to the day he died at age 95 with no health problems whatsoever. It's like, okay. So do you actually believe that cigarettes don't hurt? Is that really what you're trying to say to me? Or is this just supposed to be an interesting tidbit about your family?
I do have a lot of people in my family that did have that, but that does not give me any hope at all. I'm just like, yeah, I'm like, but did they really like... do it as much as I do? Like, do they really, like, they weren't, like, ripping tequila shots, you know, and living on a balcony in the sky where they could do it 24/7.
But I don't know. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, though. The people always hit you with that fact or whatever, some family member who they had.
Or like, Kurt Vonnegut, like, chain-smoked every day. And Mark Twain, I guess, too, but he was cigars, so that's a little different. Not like, well, I guess cigars really aren't that different. They're also terrible for you. I don't know. I don't know what point I was trying to make there.
I do. The anti-smoking and anti-drug commercials are so fucking insulting to people's intelligence, too, though. And now, though, the New York campaign, they're really ramping it up with just, like, fear.
I know.
They're showing, like, people's a commercial will just be a minute with a person sitting at a coffee, like, at a kitchen table, like, coughing through a breathing tube or something like that.
Or like, the little, like, Drake thing, like, that thing. Where yeah. They get their vocal cords removed.
Or the arteries, like, squeezing the goop out of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those commercials, it's supposed to be, like, it's supposed to try to intimidate you into not smoking. It's like, oh, fuck
that
you.
That sucks that, like, non-smokers have to watch that.
Why are they, like... I don't know. People don't really respond to being, like, browbeaten well, do they? I don't think so.
It doesn't seem to be working. Raising prices doesn't seem to be working that much either. And now in New York, you can't smoke in parks anymore.
Really?
Yeah, or, like, pedestrian walkways. Like, if you're walking through, like, Greeley Square or something, you can't smoke. I'm not sure who is really going to be there to enforce it.
Interesting.
In a weird way, though, I mean, whatever. I can walk through a park. It's probably a good excuse to either, A, save money and not smoke a cigarette, or just give up smoking. But the people I feel bad for are, like, the pot smokers, because now cops are looking for people smoking in the park. It can't just be like, oh, he's probably smoking a cigarette. It's like, no, yeah. If you have any lit object.
So you can't get stoners.
I know, you can't get a little...
Living a world that just doesn't
understand. Can't get a little high and go for a saunter through the park anymore. Not New York City.
Well, you could... I mean, you could get high and then saunter through the park. You just can't go to the park and then get high.
Yeah, but it's the whole aesthetic of it.
Sure. Oh, hey, listen, you know, I can... Well, I can't relate, but...
Because usually when you get high, leaving the house becomes like a daunting task. You know what I mean?
I guess it depends on your personality.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about how I would try to make a commercial for kids to make them not take up smoking.
Okay.
Or teenagers or something like that.
Right.
I think I would just go for not... Oh, look at how expensive it is. I say, like, in a year, like, you would save this much money by not smoking. Look at all the booze you could buy with that. And just sort of,
yeah.
Like, put it at that angle. Or this could buy you, like, a plane ticket to Vegas or 20 minutes with a prostitute or, I don't know, something.
Yeah, I think just grossing out people who are already addicted to cigarettes, that's, like, just a terrible idea. I understand, that, like, a campaign to make kids not start doing it is
but it's just
smarter. But...
Just what are you making smokers, you're trying to pile up their self-loathing? Is that?
Yeah, I know. It's like...
Because I think that's already there in a lot of respects.
Yeah, I think that's why a lot of people smoke. It's like a nice socially acceptable form of suicide. Kind of like a weird, like, self-destructive thing.
And they're working on making it not socially acceptable. What do you
know? But,
I guess you could just go back to, like, eating lead paint.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, something else. But it looks cool, and it feels good while you're drinking coffee. Lead paint and coffee. It's far, well, maybe it's a good mix.
Yeah.
If it's like milk covered paint, no one would even know.
Covered paint.
You don't drink coffee either, which is crazy.
No,
very
no.
few vices.
Yeah, but the ones I do have, oh boy.
Like,
I work too hard. I'm too.
I like exercise.
I enjoy a good walk outdoors. Maybe a little too much. I like learning.
Stick-to-itiveness.
Sometimes I'll pick up. Some sort of history book, and I can't stop reading it, and it keeps me from doing other things. no, I mean, obviously, probably drink too much is the big one.
Yeah.
But
but you won't drink by yourself, though. Maybe.
There were a few times in college where I drank by myself specifically for the amusement of my roommates.
Oh, well, that's different, though.
Kind of like when Mr. Burns says to Smithers, like, Smithers, get drunk and, like, stumble around for my amusement.
It's exactly.
But I guess I wasn't alone. I was just the only one drinking.
Yeah.
I'll have a beer or two at night, even
this
if it's
not. This is kind of the same thing. Yeah.
I'll have a beer or two if it's not. I don't get drunk
I can go for, like, forever without drinking. Like, if, like, I kind of resigned myself, like, tomorrow, it's like, oh, I'm not going to drink for a year. Like, I could probably do that if I, like, really wanted to. The thing is, like, when I start drinking, it's, like, really, like, 0 to 60 sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's, like, yeah. It's like time to, like, power it down. Like, getting shitty. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's, like, kind of the weird competitive aspect that kind of lingers from, like, high school drinking, where it's like, well, he got so wasted, like...
Well, the high school drinking thing, too, is also, you don't know... Like, you manage to get your hands on some booze, which is illegal and hard to do a lot of the time, and then you have a finite supply. It's not like when you run out, especially, like, in Connecticut, it's not like when you run out as an underage drinker... You can just
run out and get more.
Yeah, just run across the street and get some more beer. So
or drive down the street, more importantly, in Connecticut.
You're sitting around with, like, however many number of other underage drinkers, and you're all eyeing the pile, and you're thinking, like, oh, crap, I got to finish this beer so I can grab the next one so I can get, like, the better percentage.
Yeah, it's more of, like, an economical move.
Yeah, well, at least, I mean, that...
Maybe that habit stuck around.
Maybe.
Yeah. That and also feeling, like, totally numb is, like, a great feeling. And it's legal. So, you know.
That's true.
Do it up.
I think, well, I don't know. For me, now, you know, more so, I'm aware of, like, having shit to do the next day or something like that. Or wanting to go to the gym actually has really cut back on it. Because, you know, after class, a lot of my law school classmates were like, all right, well, let's go for a drink or two. And I was like, well, I want to go to the gym tonight. So having, like, three beers is pointless. So, you know, it's just going to make working out suck.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of times I'm just like, nah, I'm just going to go to the gym. I'll see you guys tomorrow. And that'll be kind of.
Yeah.
I'll drink after the gym.
Exactly. I'll do that and then I'll still get power drunk, I guess.
Exactly. Power lift and then power drink.
Yeah. And having stuff to do the next day has no bearing on that for me.
Well, you function incredibly well the day after.
Yeah, it's odd. I don't know what it is. In fact, I hate that I came to this realization. I function better if I am brutally drunk the night before and have to wake up early than if I just go to bed at a reasonable hour sober and have to wake up early.
Sorry, two scenarios. You have work at 9 in the morning.
Right.
Night before, scenario A, you go to bed at... You, like, get in bed at midnight and dick around on the internet till, like, 1 or 1:30.
Right.
And sleep for, like, 7 hours before you go to work.
Yeah.
Scenario B, you were out, like, pounding shots until 4 in the morning.
And kind of just, like, slosh home and then immediately, like, pfft,
get, like, three hours of sleep.
And the next thing I hear is my alarm waking me up, and I will totally take the latter option.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not that I...
Just for the morning, not obviously the whole arc of it, but the morning, when you wake up...
It doesn't feel good by any means. Like, it feels awful, but, like, it's more efficient. Like, I hear that alarm, and I'm like, you know, I'm just kind of like, let's do it. All right, here we go. Like, fuck it. I'm probably late already. Like, here, let's do it.
That's amazing that you have that kind of willpower. This was a number I started toying around with in Ireland because it became really pertinent, which was the number of drinks to hours of sleep ratio. Once that creeps above, like, 4... I am in trouble. And even
four drinks to 4 hours of sleep?
Four drinks per hour of sleep. Right. So, like, if I get 4 hours of sleep, and once it gets above 2.5 even, you can really be getting in trouble. Because, like, for me, if I have 7 or 8 drinks and, like, 3 hours of sleep, like,
right.
I have a brutal time getting up. And then when I first wake up, I am so good at persuading myself, like, reasons why I don't have to. And I'll lie to myself. Like, my brain will... My body will be getting us. No, I set this alarm because I have to get up. It's like, well, you can shower faster, so you can sleep another, like, 15 minutes. It's like, all right, cool. It's like, yeah, you don't need to... You need to, like, dress well. So like, that's another, like, 5, 10 minutes. It's like, okay, all right. It's like, you don't need to eat either. Yeah, we can sleep that. And then it's like, yeah, you know, you don't actually have to go to this class. So don't go. And then you can sleep till noon. And then I wake up at noon, I still feel like dog shit, and I also hate myself because I skip class or something. This is...
just levels of self-loathing.
This was more in undergrad. Law school, I actually asked my dad, I was like, so... And he was talking about how, you know, sometimes he'd miss class in undergrad and scam me too. And I said, well, what about law school? And he just said, oh, no, I'd never miss class. I just never missed one. This past year, I missed one class each semester.
Well, that's admirable, I would say. And then I suppose there are always those people who just, like, no matter what, like, have to go to every single class. That's just the way they are. But I don't know. I suppose, well, I don't know what law school is like. I'm not sure if, like, missing one is, like, that crazy.
A lot of kids miss a ton of classes.
And still do fine?
I don't know how they do. But, one person I know.
Presumably do fine?
One person I know missed a ton of classes and made law review. So it's possible. And I think it depends on the class.
Interesting.
And there was one class where I just, like, contracts this past semester, I should have just not gone and just gotten the outline and just
figured it out at home.
And just, cause I wasn't, the class wasn't helping.
Just a shitty professor or?
I feel like she had it in her not to be shitty, but she got so hung up on, this is a woman who contracts is her fucking life. She's like a contracts robot.
That's so weird.
And, I know she was a cool lady. Like, if you talk to her. But she would get so fixated on how the law was wrong or what it should be or why it wasn't working or why a decision was wrong. And we would get hung up on all these really obscure little details or exceptions or something like that. And she's like, really, it should be like this instead. And then we'd talk about that for days. And at the end, we'd be like, wait a minute. What is the actual law, though? Like, because on the exam, that's what you're testing us on. So So it was very hard to follow for me.
Right.
Some people loved it. I don't
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Wasn't streamlined enough.
And we had to memorize. It was a closed book exam, which means we had to memorize, like, the UCC, which is like a commercial code. As an attorney, there's never a situation where you won't be able to look it up.
Right.
For that. I mean, that's really shitty, I thought. I thought it was kind of, what are you actually testing us on? Because anyone who could actually remember all that shit is going to do the best on the exam, the way right. that was set up. And I really hated it, so I had trouble memorizing it because I didn't want
to
look at
it. Yeah, I guess
it.
That does kind of render the class to be like almost pointless at that point if it's just going to be based on who could memorize the most out of a book.
And for like the entire corpus of contracts law, obviously it's important to memorize most of the law. Like if you're working on a case, you want to have the law memorized for that case or whatever it is, or all the things that are relevant to it. But you're not going to memorize like, the entire corpus of contracts law, and you're going to be able to look shit up quite frequently. And what's going to win you the case is who can, you know, manipulate the details and set things up and array things in an advanced way. It's not just who can remember what the law is.
Right.
So I don't know what she was really trying to test us on, if it's relevant to actually being a good like lawyer.
But I'm glad I don't want to do that with my life, because that sounds like hell.
Well, that was the worst class by a lot for me. So they're not all like that. Like crim law, we just like watched clips of Mad Men and tried to argue about whether or not it was rape.
Oh, that's cool.
That was great.
See, that sounds like fun.
No, it was fun. I love crim law.
I was gonna, I thought you were gonna say I love rape.
No, you know who does love rape though? Fucking female Fordham law students. Holy shit, we'd be talking about like we'd read a case and it'd be like boyfriend threatens girlfriend to like says he's gonna beat the like living shit out of her and put her in the hospital, and then he like has sex with her and she doesn't say no, but like she did earlier or something. It's like, is that rape? And the girls would like, so our professor would be like, so is that rape? And some girl would raise her hand and be like, she was really stupid for putting herself in that situation. It's like, granted.
Just gets really competitive with the other girl.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be like that to him.
No.
Theoretical, attractive, abusive boyfriend. Yeah.
I don't know. It was because I was bracing myself for guys to be raising their hands and being like, well, I mean, you don't want him to get blue balls or whatever. Like, you know, I was waiting for that. And
that holds up in court.
Speaking of blue balls, that argument never came. It just didn't. So,
it never came. That was the problem.
Yeah. So, but the girls were saying like, well, and this is the analogy I'll give. It's like, well, yeah, I shouldn't walk through a really terrible neighborhood in Baltimore at 3 a.m. because I might get shot. That doesn't mean that the person who shoots me is allowed to do it.
Exactly.
Or is, like, anywhere close to an okay person. Like that's, so, yeah.
I shouldn't
have put myself in that situation. They also shouldn't have shot me.
Like, exactly.
So, I don't know. It's like, yeah, she shouldn't be hanging out with him. He, on the other hand, shouldn't have raped her, which is illegal and terrible. So, I actually had to raise my hand and say something at one point. I was stunned that was the way the dynamic played out.
Right.
I was relieved. Because girls saying horrible things about rape is a lot less uncomfortable than guys doing it. But
let's get so they're down with rape. If like if they're asking for it.
Yeah.
At least law student girls.
Ben Law Student Burger?
Yes.
Shitty wordplay. Where are we? Here on
Law Student Burger? Ben Burger?
Lothless Burger?
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Lothless.
I thought you were like talking about like Ben Brown, a realtor.
No,
like,
who rules? Browncaster.com for all your New York realty needs.
Yeah, if you're ever considering moving to Manhattan or the western part of Brooklyn.
I can't recommend it highly enough. What we've gotten for our budget, both this time and this next one, are...
He's also a rapper, but that's on the down low.
That's a secret.
It's a secret.
On the DL. In other news, A2M blowing
up. A2M, check them out on a totally unrelated note. Best rap group this side of New York.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to go on a law rant, but...
Well, what else are we going to talk about? Not law school?
Well, there's got to be some shit that drives you nuts about your job. Do you want to talk about it?
That drives me nuts?
Or, like, funny shit that happens at Italy? I mean, you run into, like, a bunch of really confused tourists all the time, and...
That's true. It's tough to, like, cite an example. I'm bad at that.
You're bad at this talking about things.
I know. I don't know why I'm on a podcast. Like, really, this is not... It's not play to my
just
skill set.
Just put down
set.
Your headphones. Just walk away. I'll take care of the rest.
So, when you can play me. You really, it gets just like, hey, it's Nick Schaefer. And it's like, that's me, Pete.
I'm waiting for that.
That's me doing my impression of you doing an impression of me.
How did that go?
Hey, it's me, Pete.
Did you?
I'm not good at talking. Lalalulu, you heard it here first, folks. Only on Clicking a Ticket. Exclusive. I wish I had the drops.
The drops. I could feel it. I could feel you building towards the drop.
They're like, see, when I can't think of what to say, there's a drop there to say it for me.
And then we talk about the drop for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
We're telling you guys how to have a hit podcast right now. We're telling you all
step by step.
This is fucking gold right here. Oh, shit. I was going to ask you something, which is also good.
I was trying to remember talking points for a half hour.
Yeah. I don't know.
Shit, what was it?
Well, we do have... I did just send out the invites for fantasy football coming up.
Yeah, we play fantasy football, apparently, or something.
But you... What's your attitude coming into this year? Because last year, you were like, I don't... You were doing your whole, like, fuck you, Dad. I don't like football.
Well, I still tried.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
I did. Did it seem like I didn't?
No, I mean, you did all right. I think you finished around 500, which is fine. Yeah. It was just, I remember you saying, I think just you, maybe it's just how often you kept saying, I don't know, fuck this, that I just assumed you weren't doing anything. Or
I did stop paying attention to it. It was tough to foster an interest in it halfway through the season. I'm going to try, though. I'm going to try and make a point because it brings us friends together.
Yeah, I mean, Eric definitely, Lava Brick.
Rick the Brick.
Gets way more invested in the football than the baseball, I think.
Yeah. Different strokes for different folks. Some people like sports, and some people like, baseball, I guess.
Well, Critelli had his...
Let's address this little gem.
Okay,
Michael,
yeah, I guess
Critelli.
This would be a good time to do it, because I was going to write a response, but I don't have the energy for that shit. Yeah, Critelli wrote this long essay about how football is the best sport. American football is the best sport. And he says, baseball, all it is like watching to see if a hitter is going to hit the ball or not. And first of all,
patently untrue.
And that was pretty much how he just dismissed it, with sort of that statement or something to that effect.
And then just
I'm
kept
paraphrasing.
Talking about how like football was a battlefield or something, much like love is.
Yeah, and there's like storylines.
Or love always
feels
like a battlefield.
All the shit that like stupid people like ESPN for, even though ESPN is like this sort of screaming abattoir of bullshit.
Right.
There are a lot of reasons why baseball is infinitely better than football. There are a lot.
It's not even the thing. Like, if you like football better than baseball, that's fine. I just hate this like whole thing where it's just like baseball like is a bad sport. Like,
yeah, people.
Here's like one reason I've observed, and here's why football is great. Like, he's not the only one to have done this. I have people who have tried to convince me that baseball is, quote, a bad sport.
Right. Right. No, I'm never going to argue with someone's personal preferences for what they enjoy, because all sports is entertainment. Like, right. I'm not trying to say, like, if you enjoy watching it, by all means, watch the hell out of it. I don't give a shit. But, yeah, when people try to tell me, like, baseball is dumb, or like, when people almost, you can feel them getting, like, self-satisfied, when they're like, baseball is boring. Like,
yeah.
It's slow, or something like that. You know, the... Oh, sorry, you were making a hand gesture. First of all, I think somebody, I can't remember what the numbers on it were, but Peyton Manning or something in 1 year, like Peyton Manning was, you know, has been a premier marquee name in the NFL. Like, he's right. Why people watch for 15 years now or something like that. And I think in a given season, Peyton Manning actually like does something with the ball, you know, actual live seconds where he either holds the ball, is running with it or throwing the ball or something like that for like, I think 15 minutes for like an entire season
compounded.
Is like what you're actually seeing of him actually doing shit.
It's crazy.
It's something like minuscule like that. For me, I hate the sense that things are fluky. I don't like fluky, you know, when you're watching one team versus, I mean, granted, yeah, like upsets are fun and you don't want it to just be a ruthless grind of the best team always wins. Cause you know, there's no interest, there's no question about the outcome. But football, like, between the salary cap and players just collapsing completely and how incredibly common injuries are due to the nature of the sport, and because there's only 16 games in the fucking season, everything is just fluky and random. Like, you don't fucking know. Like, go back a given year, like,
there's
fantasy
a trial
football
and error, yeah.
Who are the top 10 picks from last year? How many of them are even going to get drafted this year? How many of them just blew last year?
Yeah, there's no consistency. There's no legacy there.
From year to year, there's no... I mean, what... All right. And everyone... The other thing is, everybody says, oh, baseball is stupid because teams just buy championships or whatever it is. Baseball had way more different champions and representatives in the World Series than football had for the Super Bowl or winners of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's the last, like, decade.
Think back. It's always the Patriots, Colts, or Steelers.
You can debunk that just by, like, looking at what you just said. You know
Look at the actual results.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the fact that baseball has no salary cap. I think it's awesome.
It's great, yeah.
And people who buy championships, like, spending money on like big free agents is one of the least effective ways you can leverage your money.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, in football, like, I don't know, you got the salary caps. Like, last year, I mean, doesn't shit just turn over so much that you don't even... I don't know. Like, you can't predict it at all. It's just...
Yeah. I mean, it's tough for me to even criticize because, like, I don't know what else I would compare it to because I enjoy baseball and I really don't like any other sport.
Hmm.
I find most sports boring and back and forth and just kind of, I don't care for them. So it's tough for me to say that it's just like, well, football sucks because it's like, well, so does hockey. Like, I don't...
Well, I like hockey a lot. I mean, I like football fine. I like it fine, but...
I've watched like 3 football games where it like kept my interest. Typically, I'm just like, where's the beer?
Well, the criticism, well, a lot of people are like that with baseball, which is fine too. But I mean, the criticism of baseball, people say it's too slow or like nothing happens or whatever. Every single pitch is fucking fascinating. You don't know what they're going to do. Like, it's like a chess match. Like, the pitcher's setting up.
Yeah, I'm sorry they're not hitting each other. I'm sorry they're not tackling each other.
Yeah, I don't. If I wanted to see that, I'd watch MMA, which, I mean, I like MMA, but...
And what's that thing, like, the victory formation in football where they just, like, kneel until the game's over if they're winning?
Right, the fact that there's a clock. Like, you get a lead, and then
you just... It's like the equivalent if you play Halo, if you have, like, the lead, and you just hide. It's, like, the same thing to me. It's just like, no.
Yeah,
and it's efficient, obviously, but it's also fucking lame. So to argue that your sport is, like, more valiant or whatever when someone can win just by, like, hiding, essentially, and giggling,
And not just the victory formation, even before that. Like, if you get up a couple touchdowns early in the game, you can just run the ball, like, 3 times into a pile every time you get the ball and essentially just bleed the clock out for ages.
Yeah.
And you're winning by doing it. It's just... It's fucking stupid. Baseball, there's 27 outs. You have to get the 27 outs, and that's it. You can't, like... Even if you're up by 20 runs and they've only got one out left, like, you have to get the out. You can't just, like, throw the ball into the stands and, like, shoot the finger at the batter and then, like, run off to, like...
Yeah, exactly.
You can't just chalk that up in the win column.
Exactly.
I hate that shit. I hate...
That's something that I think is specific to football that I hate, too, because it kind of happens in basketball, but at least in basketball, like...
Shot clock.
Yeah, or they'll foul you, if they're down a lot, just to, like, hope that they can rebound the ball.
Right,
you know,
you'll miss a few free throws, and then they can hit 2 threes or something.
Like, desperation tactics can be put into place to try and counteract them from running out the clock.
Yeah, like, in football...
In football, it's just like, no, I have, like, 12 dudes right there, and the quarterback's just gonna, like, lie down on the field and make a snow angel or whatever the fuck he's doing.
And, the other thing is, in football, you say nothing's happening in baseball. Baseball, like, at any given moment, you can watch pretty much everything that you need to know about it, like, as it's happening. For example, the batter and the pitcher, and then once the ball's in play, you can get a sense of pretty much what's going on in the whole field. Football, the way they televise it, you can't see the secondary at all. They zoom in on the 2 lines and the quarterback, and then the ball, the quarterback
just sails.
If he throws the ball, it's just, you have no idea what sort of, like, what he's throwing that ball.
That's got to be intentional, because otherwise you would probably know if he's going to throw an interception or if it's going, you know, it's probably to keep interest. You know what I mean?
You think,
it's always like mystery ball going to,
but there's a lot of complicated X's and O's shit going on in the secondary, and nobody ever gets to see it. It's never explained to us. You know, if the wide receiver's open, we're told he did a good job and the cornerback did a bad job, and that's kind of it. That's what we're told. I don't know. That's quarterback made a good throw or he didn't. I don't know, but it's kind of stupid.
Yeah, it is kind of stupid.
I don't know. I think you should be able to see where 2/3 of the action is actually going on.
No, yeah.
When you're watching the sport.
I mean, because that's like what's fueling the result more so than the guy threw the ball in a direction.
It's just... It's really not as interesting. It's really not.
That's why I don't watch it.
If you go,
well, I do watch it because everyone else watches it. So it's like, let's watch the game, and I'm like,
it's on. I pay attention. I run a fantasy football league. You're in the fantasy football league. I want to win it. I want to do well.
Like, I want to win it like taco style in the league.
Yeah.
That's like my dream, to just be dominant and not know what the hell is going on.
And I think you know, now that I'm sort of trying to address all the flaws with football, and I think I'm doing kind of a crappy job right now, as compared to baseball, and why I like baseball better. I'd love to have Curtelli on the show and actually have a dialogue about it, because, you know, I'd like to hear what the arguments are.
I couldn't believe, because most of his articles are just like goofy stories from his life, and then to just call out something that's so, for a guy that didn't even know like what a sport was, you know, hyperbole obviously, until like 4 years ago, and then to just like denounce another sport.
Yeah. All right, here, I'll put it this way. I get why baseball might bore people and isn't for everybody.
No, I certainly understand that.
However, my argument is any problems, like if baseball bores you, that means that comes out of ignorance because it just means you don't know what's going on. You don't know why giving it bad is interesting or anything
exactly.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah. Or you know, you'd rather just not care, which is fine.
Oh, here's something. Here's something I love about baseball that you can't really do in football. Baseball, you can isolate people's contributions. You can say, oh, this player did this. And even if a player's team sucks, he still has every motivation to try to hit as well as possible. And even if the hitters around him blow, I mean, granted, you know, you want to have runners on when you come up to bat because the pitcher has to throw out of the stretch and it makes it. But anyway, this,
right.
By and large, an individual hitter can still be awesome on a shitty team.
Right.
Like, and he'll just do his awesome thing. And you can see that and identify it. Ditto for a pitcher. I mean, granted, defense affects them. But by and large, if a pitcher pitches well, you know, you'll know. In the NFL, first of all, like, you have no idea. You know, you have players on a practice squad or like out of the league, and then some team signs him for whatever reason. He can do like the one thing really well that system likes, and all of a sudden he's incredible, and no one knows why. Or for example, the offensive line is so incredibly important to everything, but unless you're like watching every single game with every single player all the time, you have no idea like who's actually doing shit effectively or not.
Exactly. So it's like they have the best defense. I'm like, well, who's good? And they're like, everyone. It's like,
oh, and there was one year where like I'm a Packers fan, and one year the Packers is like everyone's saying they had it's like they have the best pass defense in the league. It's like, well, that's because their run defense sucks. Everyone just runs all over them all fucking day. Why throw the ball? And exactly. You know, it's like, and that's the best we can do. Like, come up with sort of identifying relationships and who's contributing and who's not.
Well, I think Swifty actually, I remember, had a comment about this. I remember when we were starting the football league last year, we were just coming out of the baseball season, and I'm gonna butcher this because I don't even really know how the sport works, but he was like, yeah, like, what do you think about like the Giants this year? It's like, well, their like defense like got a little worse, and like their like running was like a little bit, I don't even know what it was. And he was like, it was like two sentences, and then like him and my father, like him, the like inclusion, like, I guess that's really all the depth you can talk about football. Like, that's all the speculation we can do.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how it plays out. To you know, it's, but you can't talk about it. There's no.
That's the thing, when because people at like at work, for instance, everyone like talks about football, but like the conversations are so boring. It's like, this guy's good. Do you think he'll be good again? It's like, nah, dude. It's like, really? Because I think he will be.
Or like, he's not trying. Or not. Like, last year he was trying. Like, but now he's... like baseball, I can tell you, it's like, well, no, his strikeout rate, like, every year is, like, going down. He's losing some velocity. So it's just, I can give you reasons why I don't think he's going to do as well. Baseball, it's like, oh, or football, like, oh, I think, well, they always, you know, the Eagles, they always get it done somehow.
Exactly. Like,
well,
like, that's
okay, like, great. All right,
and it's funny, but in a weird way, I'm almost glad that some of those like vicious football fans kind of discount baseball, because the ones who are like diehard fans for their team or whatever in baseball really bring down the sport. Like, when you meet someone, where they try and analyze it like it's football. It's like, God,
don't get me wrong. Like, a lot of baseball fans are fucking retarded, too.
Yeah.
They just got their, like
talking about how people are clutch or whatever.
Yeah, or RBIs, or they'll have their like shitty narrative for a season. It's like, you knew that this was a, like, this team had it in them. You know, Kansas City, Kansas City can't do it. I mean, it's Kansas City. Like, you knew that. It's, well, the players play the game, not their jerseys. You know, I don't know.
I know. If the jerseys did play it, I might watch it. Might. If you could somehow possess the jerseys or some sort of weird specter fight, I might watch it.
There's really no, there's no conversation you can really have about football.
I guess
despite
not.
What we've done,
I suppose I don't even try, like, because I have nothing to contribute. But
well, you know, you know what? I'm not gonna. I want to talk to Critelli about this. So I think we can leave the
calling
this,
you out.
We can leave this set. We've already done like 10 minutes on this, and I've kind of been. I feel like I'm leaving a lot of stuff on the table here. Like, I have more
good
to say about it, but you know, that's.
I want to see it in a debate scenario,
Critelli.
Because
I'm calling
I'm
you out here on the air,
with you.
On the air, Mike. It's on.
Nick?
If this doesn't... if he doesn't respond, if he doesn't accept my challenge, I will do a Randy Macho Man Savage
style
rap
challenge.
Song.
Oh.
By Hulk Hogan.
Challenge into a match, but the Punk didn't show.
Yeah. Well, if he doesn't want to have a debate, we can have a ladder match. I'll have a ladder match.
How about
cage.
A suitcase match? You ever remember those?
Oh, well,
it's like a ladder match, but there's a suitcase up there instead of a belt.
Well, when there's a ladder match, you can have action above the ring.
How about a TLC match?
10-11 care?
Tables, Ladders, and Chairs match.
Ooh.
It was first pioneered by the Dudley Brothers versus Edge and Christian versus, I forget who the third tag team was. God, who was it? The Hardy Boys, of course.
I feel like the chair would be the best thing to have.
Well, it's funny because they all had their specialties, each tag team. Like the Dudley Boys would put guys through the table with the 3D. The Hardy Boys were more ladder guys because they would get to the ladder. And I think the belt would be within their grasp. They're like, but he's too tempted to do the moonsault. And they do like 400 flips off the ladder because they like stick it to the guy who's already on the ground. So they were the ladder guys. And then Edge and Christian had the chairs because they were like kind of like the skeevy ones. Like when they were doing like one-on-one.
Someone's not looking.
Yeah. When the ref is distracted by like whatever slut you drag out to the ring with you because she's talking to him or something.
I know that the next words I'm going to say don't really have any bearing on wrestling, but in real life, if I were in a fight, I think I'd rather have a chair. Like, a table would just be kind of cumbersome, a ladder.
No, dude, because you can powerbomb them through it once you overwhelm them.
Would throwing them through a table actually hurt them any more than throwing them out of the ring?
It might break the fall.
I was going to say, like, would it slow them down a little bit? I mean, just... It's sort of like a crumple zone.
I know, and the table always breaks in half, apparently. So, like, that's
I feel like
if kind
it
of cushioning the ball.
A lot.
Exactly, but luckily it always breaks.
Yeah, luckily. Man, what are the odds of that? Every single table they've had breaks? For how many years now?
Why don't they get, like... Why do we... My favorite part is, like, when they're pulling out the tables and stuff and illegal stuff from underneath the ring that they just, like, keep under the ring. Like, why don't we keep it somewhere else? We're Madison Square Garden. There are surely other places we could keep this. You set up the ring for this one event.
You think the ref would check under the ring?
Yeah, before the
match. Take a look.
Well, sometimes they did do that. And then, like, someone would come out and, like, hand them the chair when the ref was distracted. Or the ref would see them, come out of the chair and be like, you can't bring that in here. Like, you can't. And while that's happening, the guy, like, takes out, like, a brick or something and hits the other dude.
Like a jackhammer.
See, that stuff I can watch. That's better than football. They took the parts I like. Like, that's why I love the XFL. I'm not sure if I ever touched on this. God, the XFL is like everything that was good about the NFL.
Oh, yeah, just ramped it up like crazy.
Yeah, the violence was hyped up. Like, celebration was encouraged. There was like no fair catch or anything. Just dudes getting leveled. There was no kickoff or anything or coin toss. There was no coin toss. The guys like started at the 50, like the 25-yard line, and there was a ball in the middle, and the guys just like ran at the ball.
Really, like dodgeball?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It was great, and there was no extra point. You had to go for it every time.
Yeah, that shit should be in there.
Yeah.
But one of the funniest things I've ever fucking seen was last year. Glenn came into the city and he and Pete went out to a bar, and I was supposed to be meeting up with them later. I was taking my time with In-N-Out. And I watched this alone, and part of it makes me so sad that no one else was here to see it to confirm that it really happened.
Fucking Nexus.
John Cena was enslaved by the Nexus, because they like the Nexus is like Wade Barrett, who's a douche. He's total.
Yeah,
dick.
He's a total. Dick.
And it's like four like henchmen who are also in the Nexus, and they only fight dirt. Like they none of them would win a fair fight.
Straight on with John Cena. Cena wins every time.
Oh, every time. Oh, I mean,
because he's a good guy.
And then they cheated to beat John Cena, and the deal was that John Cena had to do everything they said or he would be like fired from WWE. Like the commissioner decided this, and then so like John Cena's like looking pissed, and you can see like the conflict tearing him apart because he hates the Nexus but he loves WWE. And in the end, is he gonna have to resign to save the league? I mean, you don't know. And like at one point, like Wade Barrett's like, now that you're my slave, you're gonna go in and like win the Royal Rumble for me. So like Wade Barrett like hides during the fight. The Royal Rumble, they've got like 50 people fighting.
Yeah,
at
the
once.
Royal Rumble is like when like, everyone's in the ring. And,
yeah, and the winner
standing.
Gets to like challenge for the championship or something like that.
Yeah.
And so
they become number one contender.
So Cena goes in and beats every other wrestler, and then conveniently. You know, what are the odds of that?
Well, he knew, though, because John Cena can just win the Royal Rumble as he wills.
Just like that.
Like when he wants.
Snap of the fingers. And then once he'd beaten everybody but Wade Barrett, John Cena had to, like, forfeit so that Wade Barrett would win. And it was just so funny. It was so fucking funny to watch John Cena in his jean shorts looking so agonized over this, like, ridiculous... The Nexus.
I like how he has, like, a spinner in his belt or something.
And he's also doing very well at Kmart.
Very well. Well, Selena Gomez kind of usurped him, though. She's like the new Titan.
See, but that's retarded, because John Cena would beat the shit out of Selena Gomez.
Well,
put her in the ring.
It's
what's
not
she
all about
do?
Fighting at Kmart. It's also about affordable prices.
And that's why Kmart is going straight to hell. Straight down the shitter. When I was a kid, Kmart was all about fighting.
It was all about fighting, and it was number one.
And now it's...
I don't know. It used to be good, but
wait,
now it sucks.
You would come in here and say to me, you like Kmart?
You gonna call me and say you think
you think Amon's gonna keep doing this? You think he's gonna keep doing this? No more fighting. Look, I have right here on the screen.
Look around at the stores. You got Walmart. They're doing great. Lots of fighting. Who's the competitor? You say Target. They're good. They're good. Let me look down the list here.
Blue light special. Blue lights. No.
What is?
No one's looking at blue light special.
No one's. We got a caller. We got Gary from Secaucus. Gary on the line, calling from his farm. Gary, you're on the fan.
Hey, Mike. I was just thinking. You don't think Kmart can pull it out? I was looking. I was talking to my friend here. And
what?
He said,
you kidding? You kidding? You were talking?
Well, I just think Walmart. Could they're not doing too well either. I mean, Kmart could come back.
Listen. All right. Thanks for the call, Gary. Thanks for the call. No, this is ridiculous. I don't know what you think this is, but Walmart's been a champion for years. Walmart's been number one. I mean, they might be in a little bit of a slump.
Yeah, the smiley face.
Might be in a little slump the last few weeks, but you know that's not going to last. They'll figure it out. They always do. At the end of the year, you know it's going to be Walmart and Target. You know that.
Don't call. They have the most heart.
Don't give me these calls about Kmart.
Why doesn't Walmart have a wrestler?
Come back after the break with the Ming Man.
Why doesn't Walmart have like a wrestler sponsor?
Maybe they do. I don't really go there that often. Yeah, I can't definitively say that they don't.
It's just more of a Kmart thing, I guess.
You know what would be great is if NASCAR and WWE merged and they started scripting races and sponsors for wrestlers could brand them, like literally like sear, like scorch scars of their logos onto the wrestlers' chests and stuff like that. And I don't know where I'm going with this, but you script the races so that like one driver just like intentionally crashes into another one at the last second,
and a lot of shit talking before it with microphones and holding their trophies.
Yeah,
calling people out.
There we go. And like the pit
doesn't
crews,
that kind
like,
of happen though in NASCAR anyway?
I know there's like feuds because they're all angry rednecks, but like there was a sociology study that found that
I hate
like,
the way he drives.
Southern
like
people are culturally
better.
More likely to respond to perceive slights with physical violence and anger than other people are.
Interesting. Versus just like other Americans?
Yeah, just from other parts of the country. Just
odd.
Aaron, I'm talking to you, buddy.
Dirty Southerners.
Even though my temper is way worse than Aaron's.
Well, no, just because you don't resort to your fist, so you have to use your verbs more.
I do use my words.
Your
verbiage?
Verbs. Just verbs.
I use just verbs.
Run!
Dancing!
Run, dance!
Run, dance, the new hit show on VH1. Okay, so WWE, NFL, we're covering all the New York favorites here.
All the major ones. News, traffic, weather.
News, traffic. I'd love to start doing traffic on this.
I'm down. I'll gladly be the weather guy.
We could just do, you know, if we recorded this actually out on the balcony, we could just give live Lincoln Tunnel updates.
It's true, yeah. We do overlook the Lincoln Tunnel directly, and it's either packed or deserted, and it's usually just packed till about 2 a.m.
No, it's really...
It's vicious.
Do you get schadenfreude out of that? Because just looking at it? Because I'm always looking at it thinking, thank God that is not me. It is so awesome. I don't have to drive in this city.
Oh, I know. Well, and God forbid you're going to Jersey. Like, it's people commuting back to Jersey.
That's the thing. It's one of those processes. All right, so I didn't do the writing competition for my law school because the writing competition is just, like, four-day grueling, brutal, shitty assignment that you do, and then you turn it in, and you spend, like, all 4 days, like, hating yourself and doing all this work, and then you turn it in, and then all the law journals, like the Law Review, International Law Journal, they all look those over, and then they take people to be on their journal staff.
Right.
And as you're doing the whole legal writing competition and hating yourself and like being so pissed off at it and miserable, if you succeed, if you do well, your reward is to be on a journal and do more of this work. So as you're sitting in traffic in the Lincoln Tunnel, you have to remind yourself, not only am I sitting in traffic and miserable, when I get out on the other side, I'm going to be in New Jersey.
Well, you guys had to go in the tunnel. You guys went to Sonic, didn't you?
We did go to Sonic.
Did you take the tunnel?
Yeah, but it was like Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Oh yeah, everyone loves the tunnel on Sunday.
It was really, although we had a bitch of a time. Ryan is able to set up this podcast in 3 minutes remotely, but can't find Sonic very easily. A lot of one way streets, But it's in a really bad location. Like, I don't know how it stays in business.
Like, bad neighborhood? Oh, just, like, an odd area to be in?
Ryan goes in, and I don't know if you guys have ever been to Sonic, but they have, what happens is there's this little station, it's this little pod in, like, a huge parking lot, and then you go up to this board, there's an electronic board with a menu, and you order through an intercom, and then the staff will, like, roller skate out with your shit and, like, swipe your credit card out there, and you don't actually go in and interact with a person when you're placing your order.
No.
So Ryan, in his wisdom, goes up. I just go up and I'm like, I'd like a number 3, please.
Right.
And then they, you know, some ketchup. And they hook that up, no problem. Ryan goes up to the intercom and he's like, yes, I'd like the, I want some Angry Tots. Some Angry Tots. And the guy on the other end just goes, you can hear him laugh. He's like, excuse me? You want the what? And Ryan's like, the Angry Tots. It's just punch it in your computer. I assure you it's in there. So, like, which was also great because it's like Ryan, because I'm sitting there thinking, one, does Ryan actually know
about Angry Tots, mystery item in the Sonic system?
Yeah, it's like, dude, even if the computer knows it, like,
he may not have the food.
Someone still has to make it. Like, it's back there. Like,
it's in the computer, man. I don't know. Fucking turn it out.
So that was awesome. He was like, Angry Tots, the anger. And then Glenn just kind of sidles over. Glenn's having a rough morning, by the way. But we this is still something we've got to tease out. This is the referring to something we mentioned in the last cast. We're gonna wait for Glenn to come back. Glenn sidles over Ryan's shoulder at the intercom. He's like, yeah, you know. He's like, Ryan, I got this. You know those tots where that you just put like everything in them. And the guy was like, oh, the extreme tots. And Glenn's like, yeah, those things. He's like, yeah, of course. I'll get those right out to you. And I am so happy that Ryan called. I think he actually called them anger tots.
Anger tots?
I don't know which is funnier, angry tots or anger tots.
Was extreme tots on the menu regardless, or was it an actual hidden item and misphrasing it?
I think extreme tots are on the menu.
Okay, so Ryan was trying to show off or just had a moment of fucking insanity.
I love that self-confidence, though.
Maybe he was on acid or something and just like... Here's the conspiracy behind Angry Tots, man. It's in the system. I know they have it.
They're trying to hold down.
They're bullshitting me, man. That's why they call them Angry Tots.
I love that self-confidence, though. That he rolls up to Sonic. The guy who works at Sonic doesn't recognize it as an item on the menu. And Ryan's like, oh, my God. All right, let me teach this Sonic guy what's up about the Sonic menu.
I think Angry Tots.
It's like, excuse, like to the Sonic
cheeseburger,
guy.
Double cheeseburger, Angry Tots.
It's a family restaurant.
We took some potatoes and we got them fucking pissed. And we put them in a carton. And we don't even put it on the menu because it's so angry. You got to research it.
It's a secret for the pissed off people who love their potatoes. Like the place that has people on roller skates because it's like whimsical and silly is going to have anger time. Yeah, right next to their hate burger.
I'll have extra Holocaust sauce in that, please.
Do you know how spicy that shit is?
Atrocity cola.
Cyclone BBQ sauce.
Just loaded with antidepressants and shit. Give me the Angry Tots.
They hide a syringe in every box.
Broken glass.
I also like him. He was strolling up, and Sonic guy's like, "Sir, I don't think we actually have those." Like, listen, man, I think I know a little something about Sonic computer systems.
Listen, you fucking faggot. My name's Ryan, and you're gonna bring me some fucking Angry Tots.
I'm a certified Apple genius. I think I know a little something about the Sonic database.
Angry Tots? Is that what you just said? Listen, you simple monkey. You go to your fucking little machine and you look up Angry Tots because I know they're in there.
See if you can punch in with your fucking thick fingers. Hit the keys ANGER Tots!
And have your little bimbo wheel it out to me post haze.
Yes. See if that dumb bitch can roll her ass out here with my fucking Angry Tots without falling and smashing them up all over the place.
I love how it's even like if I were to order that item and I knew it wasn't on the menu and I was convinced that Angry Tots were this thing that were just in the system that they could make but didn't display on the menu for whatever reason. If the guy was confused, I wouldn't be like, I assure you. I would be like, listen, man, they're like the tots with everything. Like what Glenn said, had skipped to. Yeah. That would be like my immediate.
Yeah, explain the item that you have in your mind. Because his first thought isn't, man, maybe I have the wrong name. His first thought is, this idiot doesn't know anything. All right, this is also a restaurant. that we don't have anywhere near us. Like, we have to drive to another state for it. I mean, granted, not that far.
For the novelty.
We go there. He goes there maybe, like, once every 6 months.
I don't know. Maybe he's going there all the time. I don't know.
Maybe. But I think he would know. You'd remember
maybe maybe the Jersey Sonic doesn't have anger tots in their hidden system.
Anger tots. The tots were really good, by the way. And Sonic was delicious.
I had some cold anger tots. Even they were pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Those
got
were
some
only,
chili, some jalapeno on there.
They weren't that pissed off at that point.
No. They have the opposite effect.
If you leave those anger tots, you know, they'll key your car. They will key your car.
If Ryan does know stuff that's on the menu that they could make that's just, like, not being displayed, does that, like, work at other fast food? Could I go to McDonald's and be like, can I get, like, an Arch Deluxe, please?
Well, it's just called the Big and Tasty now.
Is that the same? They are the same burger?
You know what isn't the same, though, that they had in the Arch Deluxe? They don't have the Big and Tasty. Is the Arch Deluxe had a circle of bacon.
Right.
It had a bacon disc.
Like a bacon ellipses.
It was oh, God.
A bacon CD-ROM.
I got the Arch Deluxe every time.
Yeah, I remember they pitched it as like the grown-up sandwich.
Yeah, and I was like 8, and I was thinking, holy shit, I want to be a grown-up.
They should really have a product where they pitch it where it's just like, it's not on the menu, fucker. Yeah. And I'm pissed about it.
Yeah, like tots.
Yeah, I'm picturing a potato-oriented meal.
Like, if these tots were driving a car and you rear-ended them, like, when they pulled over, they'd, like, come out of the car with a gun, you know, sort of, what the fuck is that, buddy?
Are the tots from the South? Oh, see, I brought it back.
Whoa, shit.
Violent tots.
And all that stuff I said about you being bad about this podcast thing,
I'll have the violence chicken sandwich. And...
I'll have the Grand Cyclops burger.
Excuse me? I don't think that's not on the menu, sir. Where the menu are you seeing that? Listen, you cretin fucking monkey. Get out your little fucking keypad.
You subhuman piece of shit. I want a race hate burger and a nightmare shake, and I want it fucking now.
It's in the computer.
Type it in.
Oh, my God.
If I can't deal with you, just be an intermediary between me and your computer, because that will sort out all of these problems.
I will come back there and type it in for you if you can't handle it.
I drove all the way here for some
anger
to New York City. I drove all the way out to this pile of shit of a state, this steaming wasteland of fucking idiots. I wanted some potatoes that were fucking furious. In fact, they're not even angry tots. They're anger tots. They're manifestations of the abstract emotion of rage.
The tots aren't even angry. It's just a representation.
Anger. Like, they're tots for those.
It's like some weird German, like, impressionist artist who, like, inspired the meal.
Yeah, I'm anger tot.
Yeah. This means nothing! Some weird artistic sonic chef.
Could you put some nihilist mayonnaise on him, too, please? I like him.
It's his painting show on PBS, never worked out, and this is what he does now. He makes tots that aren't even on the menu.
I'm trying to think of, like, some other situation where you're like, not even a food-related thing. I don't know, you come into your mechanic, it's like, can I have the laser muffler, please? It's like, the what?
It's go to the computer.
I can't believe I have to fucking explain this to you.
Dear God.
You're a mechanic, you should know this. I read about it on fucking, I don't know, some forum. It was talking all about laser mufflers or something. Oh, do you mean the laser design caliber? Oh, the new one from Fram. The new, yeah, that one. Oh, yeah, we have that. You don't have the laser muffler because that doesn't exist.
Because that's not what it's called.
It's not the name of it.
It's like me going to buy a pack of cigarettes. It's like, yeah, could I get the soda shirt, please? It's right there. I see it. Give me the soda shirt. You know, schizophrenic people do that.
You guys heard it here first. Our engineer, whom we love very much, Ryan.
But thank you for setting up the cast, by the way.
Yeah, thanks, man. We're going to be probably asking for some more favors soon. And now, as the music comes in behind my voice, Jack Sparrow. We can also thank Ryan for that as well.
Yeah, enjoy the Lonely Island. I think they're funnier than us in 4 minutes of the song. We were an hour on this cast. But I think if you stuck it out to the anger tots part, it was worth it.
Yeah, there was some downtime, but, you know.
We talk about law, and then we talk about anger tots. That's
law, football, wrestling, anger tots.
There you go.
And that, once again, guys, this is a formula for a successful podcast. You got to hit all these notes.
The most important part of the podcast is the key to it is you click on the button right now on the Enhanced Podcast. I know it's there. Oh my God, do we have to do everything?
Right. Ryan will, of course, go back through this and meticulously listen to everything we said, especially the parts we make fun of him, and put in as many pictures of potatoes, tots, Sonic, anger, New Jersey, all this stuff. So thanks, Ryan, for doing that. I'm not even going to tell. I'm going to make you listen to this cast and get pissed when you don't get to this point and don't put the pictures in.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So I guess we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Is a major cinephile.
You complete me. Yeah.